Johnson with Kristen Bry. Thank you for joining us today during your lunch hour. As always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. Shoot us a text. Give us a call. And today is, and I think the whole month is, National Human Trafficking Awareness Month. Not the awareness part is important in that phrase because we're not celebrating just the act of it. We're trying to spread awareness of it. And so here to talk more about human trafficking and maybe debunk some myths and misconceptions and what the average person thinks of when they hear that term is Rachel Harrison, who is the advocacy coordinator at Fight to End Exploitation, where so she handles everything from providing support to victims and survivors of human trafficking, but then also that comes through the organization. And so welcome to the show, Rachel.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
So for people who are unfamiliar with the organization, it's based in Wisconsin.
Yes.
And which might surprise some people because I think often people think of this as something that happens other places and not how often it's happening right in our own backyard. So just to kick off, tell me a little bit more about what the organization does.
Yeah. So Fight to End Exploitation, we've been around since 2013. We're based out of Racine, Wisconsin, but we handle mostly southeastern Wisconsin, but we also work with other organizations throughout the state. And our goals are prevention, intervention, and restoration. So however we can do that, part of that is drawing awareness, which is what I'm doing right now with, you know, speaking and teaching people and getting the conversation on human trafficking in the forefront. And then we also assist law enforcement and other community leaders and organizations with, you know, victim and survivor support. So that can look a little bit different depending on a case-by-case basis. And then we also do whatever we can to help those victims, you know, become a survivor. And then ultimately our goal is to have them thrive and become a thriver.
And so with that, because I think, like I said, I think some people, when they think of human trafficking, they think of Taken.
Yes.
They think of people being kidnapped against their will and chained up to a bedpost and in a foreign country. Typically, I think in movies, it's usually like Eastern Europe or Latin America. But in reality, that is not the case. Well, I mean, certainly it can be the case, but overwhelmingly why a group in Racine, Wisconsin exists is because it actually happens here. And so what are some of the myths or some of the stats that you can give as far as how prevalent it is right here?
Yeah, that is, that's a huge issue that we're dealing with, is just a lot of the misconceptions. And people think it's the watch out for the white vans. People are going to kidnap you. Every few months, there's a new rumor going around on social media, like watch out for zip ties on, you know, your car or flowers being placed somewhere. It's just, it's interesting how, you know, things evolve. And I feel, especially through the pandemic, when people are turning more online, that rumors have, you know, we had the Wayfair rumor that was a couple years ago where people were being kidnapped and trafficked through the Wayfair website. It's just, it's insane how, you know, rumors can just spread so fast. And then that does so much damage for the real victims and survivors because the real, you know, victims and survivors aren't being seen because people are, you know, worried about, you know, being kidnapped and this and that. And yes, those cases do happen, but they're very rare. Like Wisconsin, we have 72 counties in the state, and we have had human trafficking cases in all 72 counties. And that is the reality of it. And it's, you know, it's the hardest part about human trafficking right now with awareness is getting people to understand the realities of it. And as I talk through this, it's probably going to be, you know, it's a lot of information coming at everybody. So a lot of people, you know, are confused. And that's why we have a whole month. January is dedicated to, you know, Human Trafficking Prevention Month. And today is the actual Human Trafficking Awareness Day. And so I guess if you want to, I can get into a little bit of what
I mean, we got the whole half hour here. So let's get into it.
Perfect. So so as the advocacy coordinator, I mostly work with victims of sex trafficking. And
because I think that's an important distinction, because human trafficking can be for more than just sex work. It's, it's also for labor in a lot of situations, not a lot, but plenty of situations.
Definitely. And we do have labor trafficking in Wisconsin as well. It's just right now the majority of the victims that I work with are sex trafficking, just because, I mean, look at our economy right now. It's really hard for people to survive And the people who are most vulnerable have become even more vulnerable during this pandemic. And because of that vulnerability that's out there, more traffickers are exploiting that. And we will get into a little bit of the laws, too. And this is evolving so much faster than the laws can evolve with it. And same with resources. Hardest part with our organization is, you know, finding support. And COVID, the pandemic, ruined a lot of, you know, support, because trying to find housing for people, trying to find, you know, job security, that's all, it's hard enough for, you know, a stable person right now to survive. And think of, you know, the people who, you know, once you kind of get left behind, it's really hard for them to, you know, come to the surface. And so that's what we're really focused on, is helping prevent those vulnerabilities and meeting whatever those needs for the victims that we support.
Because, and I think it's important to the distinction of what you were saying as far as vulnerable people, because it's often what I understand is people get in a situation where, and it's not unlike some of the stories you hear with like domestic abuse, mm-hmm. where it's the, you're not chained up to a bedpost. You are emotionally, mentally, psychologically, how would I ever leave?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so you can say more about that, of like what the tendencies are, why people can find themselves in these situations. And it's not because they're chained up that mm-hmm. they can't leave. It's because of all of the, how would I survive without this?
Exactly. Yeah. The most common type for, you know, sex trafficking is to have a relationship with the, you know, the victim and the trafficker. And that, you know, we call it trauma bonding, and that kind of mirrors the domestic violence cycle, where, you know, if somebody was abused the first instance, you know, obviously people would leave, but it never really starts off that way. There's always that initial interaction. There's that grooming process, which is basically, you know, having a relationship with somebody. And those are often the most difficult cases to work with, just because a lot of the victims don't even see themselves as victims. They see, you know, their trafficker or exploiter is somebody they're in a relationship with, or they perceive to be in a relationship with, or it could be their own family members. Some family, you know, there's familial trafficking, which is a big part of trafficking that a lot of people don't realize and don't understand. Some people, it's just, you know, what they were born into. So you see a lot of victims, you know, they come from broken homes, or, you know, families with substance abuse. Maybe they're in and out of the foster care system, or, you know, there's drug issues in the family, or a lot of, you know, victims have been sexually assaulted and, you know, as kids. And that, you know, when you're exposed to that and you're, you know, you're dealing with that as you grow up, that's just a normal way of life. And that's the most heartbreaking thing, is to meet somebody who is young and they don't even recognize themselves as a victim, just because that's their livelihood and what they're, you know, come to be normal in their family. And it's really sad. And so you have the familial aspect of it. And then you'll have, you know, we call them Romeo pimps or Romeo traffickers.
Is this the same thing as like the lover boy thing that's now become known mm-hmm. because of Andrew Tate?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. There's different, you know, phrases for that, but it's all the same concept, is, you know, it's not the violent, it's not being chained up, it's not the physical aspect of it. You know, that does happen in some cases, but a lot of it is just the emotional and mental component, or these people are meeting needs. You know, if you have somebody who is homeless or, you know, doesn't have a support structure, traffickers, they, you know, they prey upon that and they, you know, meet those needs. We've had victims where, you know, all it took is somebody who bought them a meal because they were hungry. Mm-hmm. And that is the gateway into that. And a lot of it is online as well. It's, you know, you don't always have to be concerned about, you know, your kids on the street, which obviously, yes, you should be, but you should be just as concerned, if not more, about who your child is talking to online, because, you know, Facebook, Instagram, all these apps, social media, it's like there's so many out there. And with how everything's evolving with virtual reality and everything, like traffickers are, you know, in those same areas. And it's not, that's also another misconception too, is people think that this happens on the dark web. And yes, there is that component of that as well, but this is like the forward facing internet, to where we could all log on. And there are websites right now where I could pull up and I could, you know, show you how to order a victim. And it's heartbreaking. It really is.
Something that I was, we were just talking about in a segment past about governments wanting to ban TikTok for its, you know, because of the China influence. Mm-hmm. Are there are there, you know, this, if there's same things happening on, we were talking about the American companies, those same things happening here on Facebook and Instagram and whatnot. Legislation we're seeing, like aggressive legislation being to regulate those companies to rectify those measures and help protect anybody who might be on those social media platforms. Are there aggressive measures as they're aggressively pursuing TikTok? Are they trying to work hard to make those spaces safer for people?
Yes, that is definitely a part of that too. And the hard part is just there's so many areas that we need to evolve in, and people are, you know, not talking about it like they should. They're focusing on the aspect of it that is the rare part of it, you know, being chained up or what have you. But yeah, social media, there are organizations out there, like the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. They do great campaigns to help, you know, try to keep your children safe online. And there are a lot of other organizations doing that. But it's just, we kind of get buried with all the other, you know, issues. You know, every single day, you know, you log online or you read the news, and it's another crazy story. And there's a lot going on. And so when we have support, a lot of, like, we work a lot with law enforcement, and which is an amazing part of it, because we're not an investigative agency. We have to get referrals from law enforcement or other legitimate community partners. But sometimes, you know, when funding gets cut or whatever, you know, what are those sources that are getting cut? A lot of them are, you know, sources like this, where you think that, you know, we could be doing so much, and unfortunately we just don't have the resources out there. So it's just, it's such a very gray area. There's so many layers involved with it. It's not just human trafficking. It also, you know, is the drug epidemic and homelessness and job security and lack of education and resources. There's so much that intertwine. And until we start having those conversations to recognize human trafficking in those realms as well, I feel like we're going to keep, you know, go two steps forward, five steps back.
Yeah. We're talking to Rachel Harrison, who is the advocacy coordinator at Fight to End Exploitation. And one thing that doesn't feel like a gray area to me is the Safe Harbor Bill.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about that and where it stands in the Wisconsin State Legislature when we come back. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are talking to Rachel Harrison, who is the advocacy coordinator at Fight to End Exploitation, because it is National Human Trafficking Awareness Day and National Human Trafficking Awareness Month. And Greg, you said you had asked a question at the break that I wanted to give you a chance to ask on air.
So when you see politicians and other people using the term trafficking to further an effort or a piece of legislation or whatever that takes away from the work you do or presents trafficking in a light that's like, you don't understand actually what trafficking is. How does that impede upon the work you do? And how do you work to clarify that message and make sure people actually know your mission?
Yes, that is another big issue that we're dealing with. And that also kind of ties into dispelling the myths and the rumors that are out there. Because, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. You know, people, when they talk about trafficking in the media and politicians, everybody is, you know, human trafficking, we have to rescue, we have to save, we have to do this or that. And they try to politicize it to where, you know, that obviously they want to, you know, make an impact into to help. But by creating this fear that just, you know, keeps perpetuating the misconceptions, people don't know really what human trafficking is. And as organizations, we have to do so much more to work towards dispelling those myths. And a lot of that, especially the last couple of years, you know, there's been a lot of human trafficking in regards to QAnon and all of that, which we won't get into today. But that is, we've had so many reports. The National Human Trafficking Hotline has been flooded with calls about, you know, this or that, what they've heard online. And that really just does such a disservice to really helping those who are impacted by trafficking. And so I like to always, you know, you listen to the victims and survivors. They're the ones that are experts in their own sense, and they're the ones that can tell their own stories. And so it is really frustrating when the media kind of spins things in a negative light to where it scares people, and then they start paying attention to something else. And so it just, yeah, it perpetuates those myths. So that's a very frustrating part of it as well.
Rachel, I just find it so interesting that in the almost half hour that we've been having this discussion, not once have we talked about one of the biggest issues, which are the customers.
Yes, yes, that is, we could do a 5-hour long podcast and still only scratch the surface, but that is, yeah, it's a very supply and demand issue. Without the demand for it, there wouldn't be the supply. And so if you look at human trafficking, you know, obviously we have the drug trade, we have the weapons trade. Human trafficking is right now, we have it estimated to be the second most profitable illegal trade out there, because when you sell drugs, the drugs are gone. You have to get more drugs to sell. A human you can reuse and exploit over and over. And that is just, it's horrifying to put it in those perspectives, but it is. And part of that too is, you know, just look at our culture. It's so fueled with, you know, sex. And especially right now, we have kids that are growing up wanting to be stars on OnlyFans and influencers. And it's just been such a scary shift towards normalizing that, and that is a huge issue as well. But there is that demand for it, which is really disgusting. And the media likes to say, they call them Johns, which I hate that word. They're abusers, they're exploiters, they are disgusting people. But there are those people that want to have sex with people who, you know, minors, or who they're taking advantage of people in a certain situation. And so that's a very important part of it as well. And it's very sad.
So we're not going to be able to get into this too in depth because we have to wrap it up. But speaking of minors, last year, for at least the second time, the Safe Harbor Bill had a little bit more progress in the Wisconsin state legislature, because in Wisconsin, and correct me if I have this wrong, because it breaks my brain.
Yes.
In Wisconsin, you cannot have sex with a minor. They are not able to give consent.
Correct.
But if there is money involved, it's solicitation for the abuser. And it's prostitution.
Yes.
They get convicted. The minor gets prosecuted for prostitution. And yet they're underage. So how are they giving consent to prostitute?
Yes.
And now that we have a new legislature, that progress, I understand, has to start over.
Yes.
And it breaks my brain that people think that this is how you protect young people.
Yeah. It's, you know, to put it politely, it's infuriating. It really is, because kids cannot give consent. If you're under the age of 18, you cannot consent to sex. But right now, since we have not passed the Safe Harbor Bill, I think this is, yes, 2 or 3 times. It's been like 6 or 7 years. And every time that it gets a little more support, but then it doesn't pass. And I think a huge part of that is just people and our politicians, they don't understand it. Some of them think that we're trying to legalize, you know, child prostitution, which is, you know, the complete opposite of what that is trying to do. And it's very frustrating. But that's part of, you know, what I said before is this is evolving faster than our laws can keep up with, because this is 6-7 years of trying to something that seems such a no-brainer, and it's a bipartisan issue. How is it not being passed? But yet it hasn't. And yeah, it's sad, because then that you have kids and victims that don't want to report because they're scared. And that's a tactic that the traffickers use. Be like, okay, well, you can go ahead and tell people, but you're going to get arrested. You're going to get in trouble because it's illegal. And that's a very, you know, sad reality. And, you know, in Racine, we work a lot with law enforcement. So we have, you know, good relationship with that. So we try to, you know, work with that, and we train law enforcement so that they don't, you know, arrest and prosecute. But not every, we can't train everybody. And so it's kind of sometimes based on the discretion of the law enforcement officer or the district attorney's office or whatever. And it's one of those things where it seems like a no-brainer, but yet we have to go back to the beginning.
So in the last minute that we have, what can anyone who's listening right now do to either learn more or support or try to be a little bit more involved in awareness about this?
Yes. Oh, there's a lot. I'll spew a few really quickly. A lot of it, stop watching porn. A lot of porn is very exploitive and people don't realize that. Don't buy anybody for sex, because even if you think somebody is doing it willingly, they could be doing it for a survival mechanism, and that might not be full consent on their part. Be very, aware of your child online and who they're talking to. Be a conscious consumer. I know we didn't really get into labor trafficking because of time, but just, fast fashion. A lot of times, if you're, supporting companies that use sweatshops.
I gotta cut you off. Yes. I'm so sorry. Okay. This, Rachel Harrison is the advocacy coordinator at the Fight to End Exploitation. We will link.